This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Well, today is a wonderful day, isn't it? It's all in how we look at things. Today is a wonderful day. Why? Because we woke up. We woke up. And, you know, Sunday is Mother's Day. And I just want to say to all the mothers out there, God bless you. And, you know, you were blessed because you were given a gift from Him. And that gift is your child. And sometimes I know, because I am a mother, sometimes it doesn't feel like it's a gift. But you know, our children are a gift, and, you know, it's our responsibility. God gives us a responsibility at the very beginning. You know, this is your responsibility, is to train them up in the way they shall go, and they will not depart from it. And for those parents that their children have, at least for right now, have departed, I just want to give you a little nudge of encouragement that, you know what, it's not over until breath stops. And I can tell you right now, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying for people to come into your children's lives that can help them and guide them. Because sometimes as a parent, we're not the one that can do that because they won't let us in right now. But you know what? There's hope. There's hope in Jesus. And so just keep your hope and your eyes focused on that. And just make sure your children know that you are available and that you love them and that you want to have a relationship. And you know what? It's in God's timing. And I said that because I know of some hurting people, and I know there's hurting people out there. And Mother's Day is a hard time, especially if you don't have that mother-child relationship the way you always dreamed it would be. And to you, I just say, hang in there. Just hang in there, because, you know, times change and people change. And sometimes it takes our children to have children to appreciate us. So just hang on there, you know, because that might be what's going to happen. So today, happy Mother's Day. And today I have a person with me who's been on the show before. His name is Scott Meacham, and I'm going to give you a little bit of background. He is the founder and president of Transformed Relationships Incorporated, which is a nonprofit corporation. Scott has several undergraduate degrees, as well as master's degree in theology, a master's degree in psychology, and a doctorate in psychology. Scott's passion is to help couples heal their marriages and reconcile broken families and relationships using biblical principles. And the word for today, you know how we have these rewords. The reword today is reconcile. And reconcile, the re is second chances, second time around. And our God is a God of second chances. And not only second chances, but third and fourth and fifth. Because He's a God of grace, and He gives us grace. And if God's going to give us grace, don't we need to give grace to those around us, to those that we love? We need to give grace. So, Scott, thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Thank you, Sue. I am honored to be here with you.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about the honored part, but thank you very much for saying that. You know, sometimes I just feel like, Lord, why did you choose me to be on this show? You know, I don't have a theology degree. I don't have a master's degree in psychology. But you know what? It's not always about that. Even though I'm glad you're on this show and that you bring that to the table, a lot of the times it's our life's hard knocks that cause us to be empathetic to those around us. And, you know, God says to love one another. And, you know, no matter where you are in life, no matter what degrees you have, would you agree with this, Scott? No matter what degrees you have, God is telling us to love thy neighbor, and we need to do that. And you don't need a degree to love your neighbor, do you?
That's for sure. I'm glad we don't need a degree for that.
Yes.
I don't know of anything that Jesus commanded us to do that we have to have a degree in order to pull that off.
That's true. And you know, when we read the stories in the Bible, He uses the lesser of these, are the ones that have a lot of trouble, a lot of problems. He uses those. Why? Because we are human beings, and we are, you know, we have faults. But in marriage, those faults become more apparent, don't they, sometimes? It's like you're with this person more often. You know, you get to see those maybe not so pretty pages in that book called Life of Your Spouse. And we are called to love them and accept them. But it also helps us be better as human beings because we get to see our own faults through our relationships. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA, and we're talking to Scott Meacham, and he is the founder and president of Transformed Relationships. So how is this kind of counseling that you do different from other kinds of counseling? Because I know there's people listening going, oh boy, here we go again. You know, I've had people say, I've worn them out. I've worn those counselors out. You know, I could counsel because I've been through so much counseling and I could be a counselor now. So how is your counseling different? And a lot of the times people have gone through so many counselors that they feel that, you know, they went there to gain hope, gain understanding, to learn more about who they are and who their spouse is, and try to come to some middle ground to where they can, you know, find peace or find some type of compromise in the middle to where they can get by another day. And they come out of that sometimes feeling less than those expectations being met, even a little. And so they might be people out there, I would assume sometimes, that feel that they tried that. They tried counseling and it didn't work. And now what? So why is yours or how is your counseling different?
Well, Sue, what I have been doing over the past 40 years since I've been counseling is I am impressed with biblical principle, and I take that principle and the verses that are applicable to that principle, and somehow the Holy Spirit helps me to put a tool, I call them tools. They're communication tools, relationship tools, these ways of communicating or getting across what you're trying to say, expressing yourself in a way that is to the other person safe, loving, and respectful. So the reason that my counseling is different is because I have created hundreds of these biblically derived tools that work. They work in changing a person's thinking, their paradigm, how they see life and other people and their circumstances. So the tools are the key.
Tools are always important, and I've always said that, you know, I wish school would teach us how to be a better mother, better father, better wife, better husband, and we don't get that training in school. I had someone on recently that was that's teaching people how to be entrepreneurs, and we don't learn that in school either. And so, you know, we kind of go into a relationship just knowing what we lived with, and a lot of the times that would be dysfunction. And so having tools is really important. And I can remember counseling, and I can remember some of the tools that I learned was never bring up a subject when you're getting ready to go to sleep, because that's not the right time. So timing is important. That's one thing that I learned. Another thing I learned is to really, when you're expressing something, to not say you do this, you do that, but to say, I feel like this when this happens. Now, are those tools correct or am I wrong?
You're right.
I am?
We make sure that we express what we feel, not tell another person what they feel.
Right. So always start with, I feel.
I feel. And the next word after that, Sue, must be a feeling word. Like happy, sad, mad, glad, frustrated. Not the way that we communicate, a lot of people today, they'll say, well, I feel like that's a chair. I feel like that door is brown. No, that's inaccurate communication. I feel lost. I feel lonely. I think that's a door. It's my perception that chair is over there. Do you see the difference?
Yeah, I feel versus I think.
Yes.
So you go from the head to the heart.
Yes.
Yes.
And the burden really is upon the man, because the Lord tells us to live with your wives in an understanding way. That means it's up to us, the burden is upon us, to learn how to, if you will, communicate with our feelings on a deep emotional level. because that's where women live. And we must learn how to do that in order to connect with them.
Right. Is that a left and a right brain thing? I'm just asking because, you know, sometimes people are so in their head that they can't get in touch with their heart. And we've got the artistic and then we've got the other. And I'm just wondering if there's some connection there.
What it is literally a frontal orbital cortex of your brain where you learn how to feel. And when you express your feelings, your frontal orbital cortex literally grows. It's amazing. They've done a lot of research on this, but that's the difference. That's the part that is tangibly affected in our brain is the frontal orbital cortex.
I've read some articles about that, about when the differences between a boy and a girl from birth. And something to do when they're in the womb, even. And I don't have that with me right now to read that. But it was very interesting. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA, and we're talking to Scott Meacham, who the reword today is reconcile, and he is the founder and president of Transformed Relationships. So he deals with people that are struggling in their relationships, and he is saying that his counseling has a pretty high success rate. So, Scott, going right into that, why is your success rate so high in helping couples?
Well, it's because, Sue, not only do I give them the tools that they didn't have before they came to me, but I also hold them accountable to follow through and practice the tools. And I tell them, if you don't practice the tools, then you cannot make a return appointment. You can't come back if you don't practice the tools, because if you don't practice the tools, your thinking's not going to change, and your feelings won't change, and your behavior won't change. I think, I feel, I do. So we want to make sure that we, in order to change the behavior, we have to change the feelings, and that means we have to change the way we think, and the tools are what are the key to changing a person's paradigm of how I see me, you, and my circumstances. So I hold them accountable.
Wow, that's really good. I can remember going to counseling, and I can remember, we'd go there every week, and I'd really look forward to it, and I would take notes of, you know, things that have happened during the week. And I would take notes so that I could be articulate when I'd go into the counselor. And I didn't feel a comfort level to talk about these things, especially first, early on. There was a discomfort level of discussing or knowing how to bring something up. If things get volatile, or if they get passive aggressive, it's a difficult situation to bring things up. So I would write things down. And then when I'd get to the counselor, I would read what I wrote, because I wanted to understand what part I played into the dynamic of what was happening. I wanted to understand more about me, not so much changing the other person. Cause I do think a lot of people go into counseling because they want you to change the other person. They want you to fix the other person. And I don't know, do you find that a lot?
Yes, that's very common. Fix my child, fix my spouse, I'm okay, they're the broken wheel here. That kind of thinking, a person's not going to change if they don't see a need to change.
Pain has to be worth the gain, I say.
Yes.
So if somebody is feeling uncomfortable or discomfort about a situation, it depends on how much discomfort before somebody's willing to feel another kind of discomfort on trying to fix what's broke.
Yes. Well, when we take something away from someone, it creates a void. So we've got to have something ready to put in its place. And what we have are these biblical principles, the tools that we put right there in place of expressing their anger in a way that was abusive and hurtful. Now we're going to express anger this way. And the other person feels safe when the anger is expressed, And the one who has the anger doesn't feel shame or guilt because they were out of place. So we've got to make sure that we're ready to give them what does work when we take something out.
That makes total sense. That makes total sense. And so many people just don't know what to do. They just know what they've been doing. And even though it might not get the result they want, it's all they know. And so it's difficult because you don't know what else to do. So you're giving tools to say, you know, you might have been doing this, but now let's try this. And see what kind of results you get with this. And do you find that things like change right away, or do you think that it takes a little time? Because I've been told that it takes 21 days to create a habit. Is that true? Something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. But there are different kinds of change. One of the things that are non-negotiable when couples come to see me is that I teach them how to have a devotion together as a couple. And so we actually go through a devotion here in my office. I teach the man how to lead the devotion, how to gently and lovingly lead his wife through this step by step, how they can read a passage together and pray together as they close their little 12-minute devotional time in the Word of God. And Sue, when you hear your spouse lift you up to God's throne and beseech God and say, God, help my husband or help my wife with this issue because you know how difficult it is for them. Well, it's very endearing when people experience that. And couples come back to me the next week and they say, I can't believe the difference our devotions is making in our relationship. And it's all the Word of God, because the Word of God is supernatural. It has nothing to do with Scott. It's not the magic of the office. It's the Word of God that is supernatural.
When I asked you how your kind of counseling, you know, your kind of counseling is different from other kinds of counseling, 1 Corinthians 2:14.
Yes.
What's that scripture?
1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the person without the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. What that means is you first have to be on the same page spiritually. Just last week, a couple came to my office, and this was their first time. I usually don't do this, but it just happened that way last week, that when this young Marine and his wife came, part of their session, I was able to share the Lord with them, and both of them prayed and asked Christ to come to their heart and be their Savior right here in my office. And now they're both on the same page, and now they can understand the things of God. Before that, they may read the Bible or a passage and it wouldn't make any sense to them, but now the Holy Spirit lives inside of them and he helps them understand and discern the Word of God. So we first have to start with, what's my relationship with God? Do I know him through Jesus Christ? Is he my Father? Is Jesus Christ my Savior? That's where we have to start.
Absolutely. And, you know, everybody starts not on the same page. But that doesn't mean that, you know, in the Bible, it talks about that wives, you can win your husbands over with a gentle and quiet spirit. And, I believe that to a certain degree. I think that that's true. You know, you get more love with honey than you do something else. So, yeah. Vinegar, my mom used to say, get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. But I love what you're saying right now. I really do, because I learned recently, and I've never heard it said like this, that marriage is a ministry.
Absolutely.
And it's so much better to be on the same page when things come your way. It's so much easier to know which direction or what decision or how to make a choice if both of you understand the goal, the big goal.
Yes. And it is really our first ministry, Sue, because if we don't minister to our spouse, then we are not unified. We're not encouraged. So often, couples will come in after being married 10 years or so, and they'll say, we don't really have anything in common. We don't really know each other. Then I'll ask them about their, so what about your date night? Tell me what night is your date night every week. Well, we don't have a date night. Well, that's one of the reasons that your marriage is in trouble, because you're not nurturing and feeding your marriage. Your kids are getting all that you have to give, and there's nothing left over for you. So you've got to carve out time to do this for you. You've got to spend time together, nurturing your marriage, and that is crucial.
I relate to what you're saying right now. When our marriage was very young and we had children very quickly, and we didn't have a whole lot of money. And so to get a babysitter and to go on date night and have a babysitter was out of our budget. So we didn't have the funds, or we didn't apply the funds and didn't put importance on that enough to find a way to have that time together. And, you know, your children take 18 years out of your life, and then you wake up and you've got your spouse. And so your spouse is a long-term goal, because they're there when the kids get up and leave. So those that are listening right now, I just want you to understand that, take it from me, you need to have date night. You need to take the time to really recreate that romance and that passion in your relationship. It's so vitally important. And the other thing Scott is saying right now is, you know, your relationship with the Lord. We each individually have a responsibility to make our relationship strong with the Lord. He's asking us to have a relationship. And I don't know about you, but any relationship that meant anything to me at all took time and effort, which means we can't just say, okay, yeah, I believe in God and he's out there when I need him, you know, but we need to devote time and have that desire to get to know him better. And the best way to do that is to get to know him. And how do you do that? It's by reading your word and praying to him. Right, Scott?
That's right.
That's right.
Let me just add that, you know, there are only three kinds of people living on this planet. One is unsaved people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. A second kind of people who do know Jesus Christ as Savior. They've asked Christ to come into their life and write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. The third kind is those people who practice living the Lordship of Jesus Christ, making him master and Lord. Give him the steering wheel. Let him take over and guide you. And when we surrender to that, we can do that. We flip-flop back and forth between, I'm going to sit on the throne, or I'm going to give it to Jesus. We do that several times in a day. We learn how to surrender and trust him to guide us. And if we will do that in our relationships, what happens is our spouse starts experiencing the natural fruit of the Holy Spirit, all nine things: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Those just come naturally through our lives like fruit on a tree. I did want to say one thing about my mom, because at the outset you were talking about Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was 62 when she went to be with the Lord, and she taught me the most wonderful dynamic, and that is how to love other people. And I cannot thank her enough. She taught me how to love people in spite of their imperfections, and to embrace them just like they are. And I will thank her. I'll see her in heaven, and I will thank her throughout eternity for being God's vessel to teach me how to love others just the way they are.
And I am right along with you. My mom's with the Lord too. And she taught me very much the same thing. And she taught me to believe in myself, which is a big deal. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their two-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
And again, I just want to thank you, Scott, for talking about your mother, and Mother's Day is coming up. And, you know, it's a wonderful time to just really say thank you to your mom. I have employees, and I was having a company meeting this morning, a safety meeting with my office in Oxnard. And I just mentioned to the guys before I hung up, I said, hey, you guys, you realize that Mother's Day is Sunday, so you guys better, you know, take her out to breakfast or do something special for your mom. And they all started giggling, and, you know, so I'm just letting them know they need to pay attention to their mom this Sunday. And to my mother-in-law, who I just adore, she's my biggest fan, I just want to say, Mom, happy Mother's Day.
Wonderful.
So, Scott, Hebrews 4:12, what scripture is that?
That is the one that talks about how the Word of God, it goes like this, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
That's so great.
Is powerful, and it is active in our lives.
You know, I can think of so many things right now, so many different times in my marriage where there was a struggle or something, and I didn't know what to do or how to deal with it. And, you know, it says to seek godly counsel, and I would do that. And sometimes people could give me the answers that I was looking for. And, you know, I kept saying, you know, God, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we can do everything we possibly can. And, you know, we have to just rely on the Lord, because sometimes it's not in our power. For instance, if a husband or a wife says that they're a Christian and that they believe in the Christian things, but yet their actions don't follow, you know, what Christ would want them to do. If you see that there's controversy, there's, you know, it's just not the same, then it's that's a difficult situation, because you're, you know, someone's saying that they're on the same page with you, but yet are they? And that's a tough one, because who are we? You know, if someone says, are they a Christian? Well, how do you answer that question? Because are we to judge? I haven't walked in someone else's shoes, so it's very difficult for me to judge somebody, because I haven't walked in their shoes. God knows. God knows. Let's leave that up to God. So, Scott, give us an example of a marriage you helped and tell us what you think made it succeed. You kind of did that already, saying that it was the Holy Spirit, that it's really not you, but you're being a vessel and you're taking your years of experience and your schooling and everything. But
well, one couple I can think of, they came to me, and in their early 30s, they both admitted that each one of them had an affair. They went to someone else. They went outside the marriage. And so both of them were guilty of adultery. And they both owned that wrong. And they came and said, is there any hope for us? We have children. That's the only reason we're wanting to see if maybe we can make this work, because of the children that we have, the two children. Otherwise, we're going to part ways. And so you're our last hope. So I told them, if you do exactly what I say and you use the tools the way I tell you to use them and we practice them here, I guarantee that you will change your thinking and your feelings will change and your behavior will change. And it took a year, and they got through the counseling, and I married them last summer. I remarried them.
What a wonderful story. That's so wonderful.
They're going to be on my website, my webpage, as soon as we get them taped, because they said we do want to share this with people to give couples hope that even if adultery has happened, there's still hope. Don't give up. And, you know, that's what I would say to folks out there. Don't give up. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. Love. Love. Not money, not looks, not, you know, anything, talent. It's love covers a multitude of sins.
So I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but has there ever been a person where they would just say that they've fallen totally out of love, that they don't love this person anymore?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's not uncommon. And they will say, along with that, they'll say, well, and I don't really know, I haven't decided yet what I want to do about that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to divorce. I don't know if I want to stay married. I don't know if I want to try to make this work. Because if I try to make this work, it's going to be so much pain and so take so long and so much commitment on my part. And I stop them and say, wait a minute. What's more important, what you want or what God wants?
Mm-hmm.
Just go one step at a time. Mm-hmm. It's what our Heavenly Father wants. And Sue, we are trophies of grace. God can point to and say, see, there's my trophy of grace right there. I did this in her life. I did this in his life. And that gives God the glory. Yes, people, we don't want to make decisions based on feelings. Feelings are fickle. So we want to use the Word of God as our guidebook, our blueprint, our map for life. And that will never change. And it's always applicable in every culture throughout time.
What would you say is the greatest need that marriages face today and why?
The greatest need is to know the Word of God. I am absolutely... I'm just a human being, and when couples come in here and they don't even know, I'll start to quote something like, for God so loved the world, would you finish this verse? And they can't finish it because they don't know it. John 3:16, you'd think everyone knows that verse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that ignorance about the Word of God, people don't know the Word of God and the truths that are there for them. They're gems just waiting to be embraced and applied to their lives. But people are ignorant. They didn't have anybody teach them. It's not their fault that they were not taught. But now that they can learn and live the Word of God, they are responsible to do that. But that's, I think, the greatest need is to know and to live the Word of God.
Amen. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. We're also on KPRZ in San Diego. So welcome, San Diegans, to listening to the show. And if you're listening and you know somebody that this would help, this is a show about giving hope when someone's feeling hopeless and help when someone's feeling helpless. I know I've been there. And so the show is about that. So if you are tuning in and you know somebody and you can't get a hold of them right now, don't worry, don't fret. Just know that anytime, day or night, you can go to SueFree, spelled like fries, one word.com. You go to that site and you can click on podcasts And you have 3 years of podcasts on there. So you can pick and choose subject matter, topics. You can pick on dates or guests that I've had on, ministries that I've introduced, anything like that. So again, it's Sue Free, spelt like fries, oneword.com. Go on there and check it out. And there is a email list. You can go on there and you can connect with me via email, and you can tell me what you'd like to have talked about on this show. This is your show. It's God's show. I'm just the vessel that's being used at this time. So I hope you do that, because I'd really like to hear from each and every one of you. So, Scott, Mark 12:30-31, that scripture?
Yes, Mark 12:30-31 is a pivotal scripture, really. It's the key to all relationships. Jesus is approached by a teacher of the law, and the teacher of the law says, "What is the greatest commandment that we should observe of all the commandments?" And in that culture, he was talking about over 600 commandments that the Pharisees had written and so on. Well, Jesus responded by saying, "I'll give you two commands. These are the greatest commands. Number one, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. And the second command is like the first, love other people the way you're supposed to have a healthy love for yourself." So those two commands, love God with all, and love other people the way you love yourself. And I love myself. We all do. We take care of ourselves. We are lovers of self.
Yeah.
So the more the Holy Spirit, I was amazed the other day when I was reading in Romans that God pours his love into our lives through the Holy Spirit. So in Romans 5, he says, because I've had people come in and say, "I don't think I've ever felt loved by God before. I don't know what it feels like to be loved by God." And so the key is allowing the Holy Spirit to receive the love from the Father and come into my life and make me feel God's love, his confidence, his safetiness, his respect for me. The Holy Spirit is the key.
So, Scott, on a personal note, you were married for 34 years before the Lord took your wife to heaven in 2006?
Yes.
What made your marriage work?
It was simply Ephesians 5:21. We just practiced it. We lived it. And Ephesians 5:21 says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." So we had servant hearts, and we had servant hands, if you will. So on a positive note, every time I did something for my wife or to my wife, I was revealing my attitude and my reverence toward Jesus Christ. The way that I acted toward my spouse was revealing what my relationship is with Jesus Christ. That's what that means, and that's so. When you have a servant attitude, a servant heart, and you don't claim your rights, we gave up all of our rights when we got saved. We don't have rights. We're servants, and when you serve each other with that kind of humility and love, life works, Sue.
Mm-hmm.
People do it that way. Servant mentality. I'm here. Every time I do something, give you a couple, a bowl of soup, a blanket, a warm blanket, Matthew 25:40 says, "You're doing it unto me," Jesus says. So
if you had a disagreement in your home, what would the scenario look like? I mean, you guys are talking about something and there's a disagreement. How would you handle that as head of household? And
well, are you talking about just me and my wife?
Yeah, just you, because the question was, what made your marriage work.
Yeah, so this is just between me and my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what we would do is we would, first of all, make sure that we're private and we don't do this in front of anyone, our kids or anyone else.
Uh-huh, that's very important. Very important.
So we do it privately. And then we make sure that we always, when we knew we were going to talk about something that was heavy, then we, I initiated prayer. We did that from the get-go when we started dating. I prayed with her before I ever backed the car out of the driveway to go on a date. So everything that we did was bathed in prayer. So we started with prayer. We'd both put our stuff on the table. This is what I see and feel and think. And tell me what you feel and think. And then with most of the time, the Word of God makes the decision for us. So that makes you go back to the Bible and find the answer. Where does God address this kind of issue? What does he think about this principle? And what should our attitude be?
So when there is an issue, would you say that it is a good idea for each person individually to check their selves with the Lord first?
Yes.
I think that's really good. Check out your motives. Check out why are you feeling what you're feeling? Why are you thinking what you're thinking? You know, is this past coming up again? Is this something that's, you've created in your own belief system that really maybe isn't real? Just check out your motives. Check out what God would say about where you're at personally, because we have a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. So check ourselves first. Get ourselves right first, then go to our spouse. And I think that you're going to have a more calm. I can remember early on, too, that probably my scripture that I went to the most was be anxious for nothing. Right. Because when we're young and we think, this is like the end of everything, we're having a fight. Oh, my gosh. And as you get older and you realize, it's OK, it's just another day and we'll get through it and we'll get through this. It just changes the dynamics to have this anxiousness. And as we're young and we're trying to do everything right and we've got little kids that are pulling at us and all this stuff's happening to us all at the same time, it's a lot to handle.
Absolutely.
So it's good for us to take an assessment. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And if you're just tuning in, I just want to let you know that we're talking about reconciling. We're talking about the reword of reconcile. And, reconcile doesn't mean this, you have to get divorced and then reconcile. It means that when you have an argument or whatnot, that you come together and you have a new understanding. And there's tools that Scott has that can help you get through tough times and help you be better at this thing called relationship or marriage. He helps us because we're not raised with these tools. A lot of times we're raised in a dysfunctional home and we only know what we know. And sometimes what we don't know can hurt us. So it's important that we get the knowledge and the information and that we let the Lord guide our thoughts, our steps. If a couple is listening to our show right now and they plan to get married, what should they make sure they do, Scott?
Well, the thing that they've got to make sure they do is go through premarital counseling before they get married and make sure that it's biblical premarital counseling, biblically derived, biblically based, and at least for 12 meetings, 12 sessions minimum, they need to go through premarital counseling. And my website, by the way, Transformed Relationships Incorporated, there's information about that on online. If they go to Transformed Relationships, I do premarital counseling as well as reconciling relationships. And what this does is, I have it's like a three-legged stool. One is a psychological test that helps them to see how they look at their strengths and areas that they need to grow in when placed against the backdrop of a national norm of four different couple types. The second leg is a family of origin assessment. It talks about their relationships in the family growing up. And the last one is a workbook that they use to to do assignments with and work together in and grow together with.
What are the main topics, do you think, that are the hot buttons in a marriage? You know, they say don't talk about politics, don't talk about money, you know, don't talk about religion, you know, in relationships when you're meeting people. But in marriage, what are the most common topics that money problems, probably?
Yeah, it's money, sex, and communication. I would put those at the top. People come here. It's kind of ironic when people, before they get married, they can't stop talking, they can't wait to call, and then after they get married, they can't communicate with each other, they don't have anything to talk about,
mm-hmm.
because they've drifted apart with the busyness of life. I like one quote that said, "Beware the barrenness of a busy life," and that is so true. We have to be careful. So, yeah, sex, money, and communication. And if we tithe or we give grace giving, whatever you want to call it, to the Lord, that keeps our greed in check. God doesn't need more money. We need to keep our greed in check.
Mm-hmm.
As far as sex goes, do you know that most couples are in trouble with their sexual issues in their marriage? They absolutely, there's so much shame and misunderstanding behind this issue of sex, and so much pornography because of the way the computer has grown. And I help guys with that issue. A lot of men's issues dealing with pornography, and their wives as well, to help them understand how to help their husbands.
Some people might think that that's not really that important, the pornography thing, but there's been studies to show just the opposite of that, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. You know, every wife feels herself that she was violated when her husband went online and looked at that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's the way that women are made.
Right.
And they're right. You know, that's why Jesus said, you know, if a man looks on a woman and lusts after, he's already committed adultery in his heart. Sue, I don't know of one man on this planet who is not guilty of that very sin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we're going to be really honest, every man has to say, I have at least done that once. There's no question, you know. Well, what do you do with that? You've got to have, here we are back to tools again. I teach guys how to write a wallet letter to self. And we work through that. They create a letter. They tell them, when you open this, you're going to be opening it because you're tempted. And this is what it's going to cost you if you fail. If you do this bad thing, you're going to lose this and that and this. And my prayer is with you right now. And guys, I tell you, they just need help. They need guidance. They need mentoring. Guys don't want to do these things. They don't want to fall into this trap. And wives don't know what to do to help them, you know. So that's why counseling is so important. To equip people.
Yes, it is. You know, we're almost done with the show. And why do you think the divorce rate is about the same for Christians and non-Christians?
That's easy, because James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So another translation says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So there are Christians who say they're Christians, but you would never be able to convict them in a court with evidence that they were Christians, because they don't live it, they don't practice it at home, they don't read it at home, they don't speak it at home. So
it's the walk and the talk thing.
That's right.
And if they're talking the talk and not walking the walk, then you've got to question that. Anyway, Scott, it's been such a wonderful, wonderful time with you, as it was the last time. So I want to have you back on again because you have so much to share and there's so much need for what you are doing. And I just thank you for what you're doing. And I'm sure there's many couples that would say the same thing. And so thank you for sharing today. Thank you for being on the show, and happy Mother's Day to all those mothers out there. And, you know, you are so special, moms. You're very special. Just know that.
Thank you, Sue.
Okay. God bless you all, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven in love. Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven in love.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home. Your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.